Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Just got an email from Jimmy Shapiro, Seth. He's the PR. Jimmy runs the PR firm that sends a lot of stuff out from a lot of the gambling sites out there, a lot of the spreads and whatnot, and futures bets. Texans a 9-point underdog now against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, sit tight, man. You might get up to that 10 handle here coming up soon.
You sons of You know what? I'm guilty of actually too saying that maybe things really clicked for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter of that Texans game where, all right, they haven't been winning by huge margins or anything. They did great in the fourth quarter of that game, the Chiefs did. And, you know, because they haven't pulled away from teams this year the way you might expect the team with the record that they do. That's the number one seed in the AFC.
Mahomes
but they obviously know what they're doing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But then they really drubbed the Steelers, which I don't know, given the state of the Steelers now over the last stretch of this. I don't know. Maybe. And now the Chiefs have been, by the time they play the game, they won't have played a game in 23 days.
Yes.
That alone, look. The Texans, it's a hard challenge they have, obviously. But when it comes to gambling and when it comes to finding the little narrow margins and everything, I think just any kind of rust, even in the first or second quarter, can greatly affect whether or not you beat a team by 9 points.
Yes.
I would bet on the Texans this week just by virtue of the way their defense is playing right now, the potential for turnovers. The fact that the Texans played them competitively in Arrowhead Stadium a few weeks ago, I think that it's going to, as most Chiefs games have been this year, they've been one score games. I don't know why they would have this huge margin.
Now, when you say you would bet on the Texans, just for the benefit of people who aren't versed in the gambling arts, you're right now saying you would take the points. You're not picking them necessarily to win the game outright.
Yeah, I'm not making my final prediction on the game, right? You know, yeah. I would take a 9-point spread for sure.
You think it's going to be a closer game than the experts do right now? Yeah, I would agree with that. Here was Joe Mixon on Saturday after the game, talking about the Texans overcoming all their mistakes.
Yeah, I just think everybody's just telling each other to settle in. You know, obviously I felt like emotions for the offense was running high because things started slow and we started picking up and everybody, you know, contributed. Everybody played a major factor today in our offense. And I think everybody plays a major role, no matter what your role is, from blocking to making plays to, you know, doing all the little things right. And we was able to do that today, man. So we just got to keep on displaying that and keep overcoming things like that. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we can't have it. We can't turn over the football, and we just got to keep on going.
I think lost in the wash of the final score of the game on Saturday, the plays that just popped, like CJ's fumble snap, Hutch play, the scramble by CJ at the end of the half to set up the field goal, the slew of turnovers in the second half that the defense was able to force with Justin Herbert, all of those things, kind of lost in the wash was the Texans did a bunch of things in this game that certainly they can't do in Kansas City this week.
Yeah.
But they did a bunch of things that you would not normally find in a game where a team ends up winning the game by 20. Where, you know, the 10, and, you know, some of that gets made up for by the turnovers that you're forcing, the ability to possess the ball at the end of the game. But if you had told me before this game, you know, the old blind look at the box score thing, where I'm just going to hand you these factoids. What do you think the final outcome of the game was? If someone told me before the Chargers game, the Texans are going to turn the ball over on the first possession of each half, their first possession of each half.
Yeah.
They were going to have 8 penalties for 86 yards. They would have a possession where they're second and one at the 4-yard line. and they get sacked and settle for a field goal in this game, because we know how precious those deep red zone possessions are for this team.
Right.
They don't get down
right
there very much this year. And they gave up an 86-yard touchdown on a 3rd and 28 after two sacks.
Yeah,
I would have said, well, they definitely lost the game. It's just a question by how much. They won the game by 20, and in a weird way, I feel like, okay, that's kind of an indicator that the rest of the stuff is sort of hitting on all cylinders right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it actually, mm-hmm, in a weird way, that actually excites me about this game, because I think these are things we know they can't do in Kansas City. You know what I mean?
The biggest surprise for me by far with the offense was how much the run game opened up in the second half. Just these wide swaths that Joe Mixon had. And we really haven't seen that in the run game since maybe the Colts game in the first week of the season. It's been really, like, any yardage they got in the run game seemed like they had to just get beat about the head and shoulders, and every now and then Mixon would, you know, spring one, but it was not like a steady procession of positive run plays. And even along all of that, they had some really negative plays on the offensive line, both in the run and pass game. It wasn't like it was picture perfect. It's just they had way more positive plays than we've seen out of them.
Even that Colts game, because you're right, that's the only other game I can remember them sealing the deal like that. Even that Colts game, you remember, they needed CJ to throw that 3rd and 11 to Nico Collins along the sidelines
right
in that tight window. This game, they ran 14 plays in that last drive. The first one was a pass to Cade Stover in the flat for about 5 yards. Every other play after that was either a C.J. Stroud scramble or a Joe Mixon handoff. Every single one. 13 straight runs to close out the game.
You know, the thing about the spread being 9 now in favor of the Chiefs, I think part of that is that, man, Andy Reid, you know, Andy Reid in opening games, Andy Reid after a bye week, he's been he's very good when he's got extra time to game plan. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm nervous about, is I don't care whether the Chiefs had 10 days of rest or 23 days or whatever it's going to be. Andy Reid's got a whole lot of time to – he'll have been looking at all his potential opponents and thinking about them. And as soon as it's the Texans, they've already got started on that game plan. So they've got time here. If you look at the opening round of the playoffs in the 2020s, last year they beat the Dolphins 26-7.
Ice bowl.
Year before, in the divisional round, they beat the Jaguars 27-20. So like a one score game. Year before that, they beat the Steelers 42-21.
Yep.
Now in the 2020 playoffs, in the divisional round, it was 22-17 against the Browns.
Oh, that was the game where Mahomes got hurt in the fourth quarter and Chad Henne had to come in and finish out the game. That was the one playoff game the Browns have won in the last however many years.
Or, now, if we go one year prior to the Houston Texans, which the final score, I blocked this from my memory.
51-31.
I know.
51-31. It was 24-0 early in the second quarter, and they trailed 28-24 at the half.
I haven't blocked the game from my memory. I had blocked the final score from my memory. I swear to you, no matter how many times I've seen that, it was still a shock to me when I saw, 51 points. Oh, after
51
after
points, 51 points with in 40 minutes. Like, they didn't score a point until early in the second quarter of that game.
You know, the crazy thing about that is, remember that run for them? They were down by double digits in every game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they won 51-31.
Yep.
Then they beat the Titans by 9 points.
Yeah.
And then they beat the 49ers by 11 points.
Okay, the most painful part of that, the most painful part of the whole sequence you just talked about there for the last minute, they beat the Titans in the AFC Championship game. If you held on to a 24-0 lead, you are not just in the AFC title game, you are hosting the AFC title game. The Titans were a 6 seed that year.
Yeah.
They pulled off a couple of upsets to get to the AFC title game. Like, why? Why? I was watching a clip here.
Sitting here, we'd probably have Jack Easterby in studio right now. Is Easterby hired in 2020?
Then 2019.
Oh, he was there in 2019.
2019.
Yeah, Brian Gain was fired going into 2020.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, yeah. April 2019, Jack Easterby got here. You're right. The world may change in a weird way if they do win that game, you know?
Hey, everybody. Coming up next, we've got Jackie, like we like to call him, in studio.
Studio.
Jackie'd come in, and I'd sit on his lap, and he'd give me advice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With lots of big words, like, like workflow. Yeah.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Here was Chris Sims and one of the McCourties. I'm not sure which one. On the NBC set, talking about the layoff for the Kansas City Chiefs.
The three-week layoff bothers me about the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw the Texans be able to throw the short passing game. They got people that can play man-to-man, and we know their pass rushers are elite. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. When you have that kind of layoff like the Chiefs have had, being on the New England Patriots, we got the bye week a lot. And you come out of that bye week, it's all about how the game starts. So I think for Houston, you have to get off to a good start. They're going to be a little rusty. Kansas City, jump on them and jump on them early.
Well, and I'll point out the Texans are one of the better first quarter teams in football. Like that's actually
That's been one of the biggest headaches. They had the point differential in the first half and the point differential in the second half are like almost mirror opposites of each other.
They showed
that's how they ended up with about dead even on that.
That's right. They showed that stat during the Chargers game. I think it's 5.5 points the Texans are averaging in the first quarter this year. It's like top 6 or 7 in the NFL. I think that was the number. I know they're one of the better first quarter teams. That's actually if you're giving out some handicapping here, like a first quarter bet on the Texans might be, rusty Chiefs with the biggest, Bobby Scripton stuff up for the first quarter, right?
The biggest thing that I get nervous about with the Chiefs having had a long layoff also is that their defense will be fresh and that Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, very good at putting doubt into the quarterback's mind. Mm-hmm. So they've had a few weeks now to kind of mess around with little wrinkles, some of their own tendency busters, all of that. So it's harder for Reed to game plan for an unknown opponent. For Spagnuolo, I think he can kind of, as a defensive coordinator, you can add some wrinkles to your game that are going to work on against any quarterback. And, then you can kind of tweak it a little bit. But that'll be the big test for CJ, is that he's going to get up to the line and he's going to see a look that they think they feel comfortable with. And, Bobby, half the time we hear about plays gone wrong with Bobby, the explanation is, well, we were expecting cover 3 or, we were expecting quarters, and it turned out to be nothing like that.
Yep.
There's going to be a few moments like that.
Text message, can you guys talk about how bad Titus Howard played at left guard on Saturday? It's a very serious concern. He didn't have his best game. I'll say that.
Yeah, and the thing with Titus is it's a lot of the old stuff of like, wow, they're not picking up games.
Yeah. Get a trip and a hold.
It's a lot. But really, even aside from those penalties, it's that when it comes to just picking up the simple things, you got a tackle end twist. He looked like a lot of the other left guards that have played the position in there. So I still feel better about him at left guard than the previous left guards. And I'm willing to accept some of the hiccups here or there just because there's something that comes with his athleticism and his body size that adds something to the run game and that adds to their offense in a way that those other guys couldn't. So there will be bad plays. There just will. But by and large, he's played pretty well as a guard. And I think there's times when they just want to, if you got to line up, and the thing about the Chargers is they got some big old hosses, you know, with a base 3-4 front. Puna Ford, for one.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
And then Tyre Tart, the former Texan,
yeah,
did some nice things in that game, too. I think there were some benefits to having Titus Howard in there, despite his bad plays. I don't think he was getting manhandled routinely the way some of the other guards have gotten manhandled by bigger, more physical guys. He did get manhandled at times.
He did.
But it wasn't just a complete bludgeoning the entire game long.
That'll be something to keep an eye on today, I think, because the Texans practice today. So today, in a normal week during the season, you know, you go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice. This week, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're going to travel on Friday. So we'll get our first injury report of the week. I think the thing to keep an eye on is what's the status of Chris Jones. You know, Chris Jones hurt himself, I believe. I can't remember if it was in their game against the Texans or the Steelers. Did Chris Jones go out in the game against the Texans? I can't remember. But during that four-day grind, one of those games, he went out with an injury, and he skipped week 18 like a lot of guys did. I'll be curious. It sounds like he's going to play. I'll be curious if he's on the injury report, any practices and whatnot.
I think he went out because he had earlier in the game, he'd gotten into a scuffle with somebody, and then I honestly got hurt like very quickly thereafter.
Yeah.
But just by way of comparison, everybody. So, right. Yeah, Titus did not play like an all-pro left guard in that game or anything. And take it with a grain of salt because it's a PFF grade and everything. But like that game where Titus looked like it was his worst game, just by PFF scores, it wasn't as bad as any of Kenyon. Like, Kenyon Green's best game wasn't as good as that game that Titus Howard played.
He's the best solution right now.
Yeah. He's by far the better solution at left guard than any of the other options.
Yep. Text message. Did you all figure out why John Metchie was targeted so much on Saturday? Because they don't have any receivers right now. it's Nico Collins, Nico Collins, and not ready to play full time Deontay Johnson right now.
Right, and that's why. And like, why was he targeted? Because he was open.
He's open.
He just couldn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yep.
But now part of that though too, because this was a good development. I think over the last 2 weeks, they've done a better job of attacking all areas of the field. The short game, using some of the like stop routes and things like that. It's been curious as to why they haven't been there. You know, some of the slants and crossers, I think they did a better job of that. The offensive line has been such an issue all season long that I know sometimes it feels like, okay, and I feel this way, like, okay, the antidote to some of these pass protection issues are just get the short game going. The problem is that when you spread out and to get a short game going and get multiple receivers on routes, there's just so little respect for the pass rush that teams can play really aggressively on that. They'll try to get short game going, and teams are like, no, we'll just mug everybody because somebody's going to come free on the defensive line. There were, again, yes, there were bad pass protection snaps, but on the sum total of it all, they've improved in pass protection compared to what they were earlier in the year.
Text message, man, y'all got me this morning with the Star Wars scenes through the lens of Nick Caserio. My two favorite moments, Seth couldn't remember what species Chewie was, and Sean's...
Multiple times within 1 minute, I couldn't remember.
And Sean's Wookiee of the Year comment. Oh, thank you. he said, I'm a little behind because I'm on the Odyssey app. And that is our opportunity to tell you to download the Odyssey app because you can subscribe to our podcast, which is doing great. And you can rewind as well. You can rewind the show and listen to segments like that.
One of the listeners yesterday, their favorite moment was when I kind of casually said in passing. Sean and I haven't done crack in decades.
That was great. That totally sailed past me. I went back and listened to it. I'm like, that was good. That was a good line.
Those are better when they sail past you. You just keep moving along.
That's it, man. All right, coaching carousel. Where are we at? How nervous are we if the Jags hire this guy? And what are the chances Deion Sanders is coaching in the NFL next year? The odds makers have put it out there. We'll see if we agree. We'll do that coming up next.